On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast, JP Finley. We got a big podcast coming your way. We got the whole crew assembled. Mitch and Peter here. John Keim is joining us. We're all in Mitch's car. How's everybody doing, fellas?
Great.
Hey.
Hello.
All right. We got a lot to do. This is going to be the last podcast, barring something nuts. This is going to be the last podcast. Yeah, right.
It's great.
Around here. What are the odds?
All right. We'll talk to you guys again soon after this.
This will be the last podcast until the game. We're going to do all the stuff you expect, over-unders, how the game unfolds. We're going to go through injuries, guess the inactives, all that stuff. Also want to talk about the Christmas party is next Thursday, Matchbox in Rockville, starts at 7 o'clock. It's going to be wild. We want to see you there. Don't forget to bring a toy. We're doing a Toys for Tots drive to help needy kids for Christmas. Some cool stuff. Breaking Tea, I told you they're gonna be donating some. We're getting 20 t-shirts to give away, and those Breaking Tea t-shirts are awesome.
They know what they're doing over
there. Yeah, they're cool and soft. They're dope. Then
cool and soft.
Cool and soft, just like Mitch.
Podcast takes a turn.
Yeah, things are getting.
I'm holding back right now.
Does it get a punch?
It's filed away.
So I talked to Kim Mosley and the marketing department at our place. We're also going to be raffling off a Jordan Reed signed picture, 4 tickets for the Giants game, which is December 9th, and then this one's juicy. 4 tickets for the Eagles game, week 17,
ooh,
which, depending how things shake out, that could be a quite important ball game.
Could be an early playoff game there.
Or I guess it could be not, but let's hope it is.
Yeah.
Let's stay on the positive side of things. Yeah.
It's a football game that you can go to.
So,
for free.
We also have a lot of shtick at the end to get to. Not even shtick, some announcements to make, I guess. But before we do any of that, this is going to be a football podcast. That's what we're going to talk about in this podcast, is football. We're going to talk about the matchup against the Eagles. I want to be clear about that. All of that said, there's an elephant in the room. Obviously, the Reuben Foster stuff earlier this week, we've covered backwards and forwards. Doug Williams went on 980, did an interview with Doc Walker, where he said some things that he clearly believes he crossed the line. And in turn, on Friday afternoon at Redskins Park, what none of us were expecting, Doug Williams walked into the podium room and gave an apology. And we're going to play that apology here.
First of all, I want to apologize to the organization, my wife, my mom, my sisters, and the 6 daughters that I have.
The last night has also been real tough on me from an emotional standpoint, because never in my life that I've said anything so insensitive as, you know, I've said. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, because there is no excuses. It's not a lot to say no more than the fact that if you know me, you would understand, you know, growing up, I understand the climate and what's going on. And for me to make comments like I did, I just want to apologize to anybody out there within earshot, especially the ladies of this area across the country. And like I said, I got 6 daughters that is nowhere in the world that I would tolerate anything like that. So for me to just say something like that, just want to apologize.
All right, guys, we were all in there for Doug's apology. We are going to be brief on this because this is a football podcast. your reaction to Doug's apology. Kime, we'll start with you.
I think he shouldn't have been in the position in the first place. I think the organization, had they come out, I think, with Bruce Allen right away, I think when you make a move like this, you've got to have somebody that who made the move, who is responsible for the move, come out and address it. They could have ended it with comments from him, and instead they made it a four-day story. And I feel bad. No, I say I feel bad for Doug. Doug is a good guy.
Right.
But I think Bruce Allen needs to be the guy that's out there addressing this one from the jump.
Not getting further into that, but Doug's a stand-up guy. He clearly thought that, felt like he said something that was a mistake, and it was a stand-up move of him to stand up there and apologize, you know, publicly and to everybody for, you know, obviously what he wouldn't have said had he had an opportunity to think it through a little further.
Yep.
Pete? Yeah, I thought it was a sincere apology, but it was an apology that was needed because he did say some things on Thursday that weren't okay.
Correct.
But to echo everyone else, he shouldn't have really been in the spot in the first place. So it's kind of a tough thing that he's getting buried under or getting pushed into. But again, he needed to apologize.
And I want to make sure I agree with that.
Yeah. I think we're all on the same page here. It was the only thing I'll add is I don't think Doug is not getting pushed up to that podium to deliver an apology to his wife and daughters. He's doing that because he thinks he needs to do it. Doug is a smart man that knows what he's doing, and that was his own choice, is certainly my guess. All right, we all agree, everybody.
All right. On to football, let's go.
We're on to Philadelphia.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
How do we want to start, fellas? I think we start with injuries and kind of what we're expecting. Let's try to flip the script. Let's start with a little bit of good news. I think Chris Thompson's going to play.
So does Jay
any
Gruden.
Argument?
No.
I think there's almost all good news this week. I don't think there's much. Well,
so I asked Gruden, hey, it's almost all good news. And he's like, not exactly.
Then he routed off like 11 guys.
Right. He's like, a lot of guys are limited.
Zach Brown, knee, ionitis, shin, Moses, ankle, Peterson, shoulder, Bergstrom, knee, Crowder, ankle, Reed, back, and Quinn, ankle.
But Chris Thompson, good news. He should be out there Monday night.
Correct. I don't think you can understate how important it is to get this guy back. And for a couple of reasons. One, the pass protection. I mean, he is. Now, this is not a knock on Capri Bibbs. I think Capri Bibbs has done a nice job.
I think he's been
place.
Pretty good. Byron Marshall got the quarterback hurt, though.
Correct. And that, you know, but Thompson excels in pass pro.
Right.
He's a quick guy who can win on his routes, and they need that. And he can make guys miss. But I think the other thing is they want. They kind of treat, we can get into Peterson later, I'm sure, but I think he's going to be able to give Peterson a break on certain packages that is tremendous. So, like, instead of having to give Peterson 20 touches a game, you can limit him to about 15, but get Thompson 12 to 15 and, you know, just reduce some of that load. But you have a guy who can make guys miss and maybe make a big play along the way.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe he could help in the screen game. They haven't used a lot of screens with their running backs this year.
Think
they did it with Bibbs against the Cowboys, but last year
they
Thompson,
were so good in the
last year.
Remember the LA
incredible.
The first LA game, the Rams
Oakland,
game,
LA.
Yeah. But the problem is like Dallas, they're not working them anyways because those linebackers are so freaking.
Right.
I almost dropped it.
So that's okay.
really fast.
Yes. You can drop whatever you want.
Okay. Frickin' is okay.
Yeah, frickin' is fine.
Well, I almost didn't say frickin', but their linebackers are really fast, and so sometimes it doesn't help. But and the Eagles with Nigel Bradham did a good job on him last year, but that is a major weapon. You're right, and you can do creative screens to get that guy the ball in space.
You also got to remember, with all the injuries up front, that hurts the screen game a lot.
I was going to go there.
I know.
I wanted to go there for you.
The big man needs to have his big man talk.
Yeah, Brandon Sheriff isn't out there mauling guys, so that hurts too.
Also, the Eagles playing that wide defense shuts down a little bit of the screen game, and that there's more bodies on the outside of the tackles than most normal teams.
Okay, so maybe not Monday, but the screen game will hopefully return a little bit.
We're definitely going to see a screen pass or two to Chris Thompson.
Agreed. All right, let's keep running down. Stay on
Crowder.
Crowder, sure. I think he's trending towards playing for sure.
I feel like he's going to play. Maybe he'll be a little limited in the number of snaps he plays. But
what Gruden kind of said is it's a little tricky because he has to figure out.
Do you mind if I take this call from Russia?
Russia calls you all the time.
They do.
Yeah. That happened a couple weeks ago.
There's some investment.
Put it on speaker and take it.
Tell them they're on the Redskins Talk podcast.
You got to put it on speaker.
Hello?
And now they have your social security.
Hello?
Oh.
Boris?
All right.
Bailed out. That fizzled out real fast. That was almost like Rich's inactive.
So the Crowder-Trey Quinn situation is interesting, and Jay kind of alluded to it, saying, you know, it's tough to have a bunch of guys on your active roster that aren't quite 100%, because if one of them goes down, then what are you doing? But, he, you know, 2 days ago he also said, we can have Crowder and Quinn both on the active roster and figure that out, no problem.
They've also been doing that all season with the tackle situation.
Right.
Between Morgan and Trent and the guys across the front. So, I mean, they've been stuck in that situation a few times.
We think Crowder's playing.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Morgan Moses, another interesting situation. He did not practice, but he went kind of on Friday. I think Morgan plays just because that's kind of the guy he
is. That's who he is.
Right.
And I also think, like, for some of these guys, because their bye week was so early this year, they use this. Like, I know for Peterson, that's what this week was. It was almost like a bye week for him. And so I think guys like for Moses, it's their chance to get a little bit fresher for the stretch run.
So you said Peterson. Do you like Peterson to play Monday night? To me, absolutely.
That's not even a question.
All right. So here's the guys where I think there is a question.
98.
I don't think Dunbar's playing. Does anybody think Dunbar's playing? 53, Zach Brown. It's been an interesting week. I think he plays. There is something going on. There's DJ Swearinger's comments did not mean to cause a little bit of finger pointing on the defensive side of the ball, but they've caused a little bit of finger pointing on the defensive side of the
ball. They might have been meant to cause some finger pointing, don't you think? At least wake some guys up.
I'm not sure that's the kind of finger pointing he's wanted.
Right, because now it's become
an unhealthy.
Well, it's a front seven versus the back end type thing.
That's never good.
And that's not a winning recipe.
No,
certainly not.
And Philly might be a good opponent to get right, to like each other again, because it's not a dynamic offense. It's like the Cowboys maybe aren't a dynamic offense, but they have a dynamic player, or two if you want to call Cooper. But Zeke is a game changer, and you can give him the ball a ton. The Eagles don't have that right now.
No.
So we're all saying Dunny's out. ZB, I think, plays.
I would think he plays. There's been a habit, or not habit.
We've seen this before.
We've seen it before with him. Not, you know, so I would
not like
think.
This. Usually he'll miss. Like, it's tough because this is a Monday game, but plenty of times he won't be there for Wednesday, but he'll go Thursday, Friday. This week he only went Friday.
But don't forget, like, tomorrow is like their usual Friday.
We're just not out here.
And they're doing that practice tomorrow night.
Which is smart.
It's definitely smart. You're going to play on Monday night as well. Mm-hmm. Practice for it, but.
ZB, we all think plays?
Yeah.
Mitchell?
I'm a little more dubious on it, I think.
Okay.
I think he's much closer to 50-50 than probably.
Guess what I just remembered?
53% chance.
The Oarsman Automotive of Virginia is who we ride with. Who do you guys ride with?
Absolutely.
We ride with Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
That's seamless,
and you should
right there.
Too.
So well done.
We got Kia Chantilly this week?
Yeah, we do. We're going to talk about them in a few minutes.
All right.
Can't wait.
What's your percentage on Zach?
50.
Wow.
Go with his jersey number, 53. Come on.
That's a good point.
Chance. It's close.
I'm going to go 47.
Wow. I'm at like 70.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I talked to him, and Chandler's rule, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. But I talked to him, and he's like, yeah, man, I'm going to play. Like, that's how he is, I think.
I think
what's
that's
your
how
percentage, Con?
I was responding to someone who was, well, never mind, I'm not going to tell you what I was responding to.
Boris?
No, I don't want to bring this whole topic up again. Just a lot of dumb people out there.
Sure.
I'm right here.
I would lean more on the 50% side. I'll go 53%.
Okay, Pete?
I think 60. I think having the extra day will help him.
All right. And then the last one, really of note, I would say, Matt Ioannidis.
Ioannidis.
This one I don't have a good feel for. He's not a big talker. I didn't get to speak with him this week. Gruden didn't provide a ton of enlightenment on the topic. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at on Ioannidis. Where are you guys at?
Well, it's worrisome.
I think with how well Tim Settle played, that it gives them a little bit of wiggle room and that they don't have to force him out there if he's not going to be ready. And honestly, he's such a big part going down. This is such a big game, and he's such a big part of that defensive line that I feel like he's probably going to go out there and play. But if he doesn't look right or isn't right, then they're easily going to be able to make that move to Settle.
Well, and it means Brantley's up, right?
Yeah.
And at what point? I mean, they made the move for Brantley.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Settle thing, it makes sense, but he did only play 21 snaps last week, and that was his season high. So in a larger four-quarter role, can he still be effective is a question I would go in with asking if Ioannidis isn't available.
All right.
I also think some of it depends, too, is how much do you think you're going to be in your base versus your nickel this week?
Sure.
And there have been times in the past with the Eagles that they played a lot, you know, they play a lot of nickel anyways, but even more nickel against them at times. So if you think that's the case, maybe you can get away without Ioannidis for the one game. But when I saw him after the open locker room or during the open locker room just walking around, he looked like he was walking better. And he was that we did see him on the field for at least a little bit going through some of the drill
today.
Yeah. Today.
And it was a shin, right?
Yeah.
Or it's a shin. So,
which probably means he got kicked.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It probably is painful. It's a pain management thing.
And can you like pad it enough if he gets kicked again? All right. We talked about the injuries. We're going to go into Guessy and Actives. Before we do, I want to thank the good folks at Orsman Chantilly Kia. Go buy a Kia, Pete.
That's as simple as that, everybody. Go buy a Kia.
And they got used cars, new cars. Yeah. They got everything. They're right there in Chantilly. They got it all.
Go buy a Kia and then give it to your designated driver so they can drive you to the podcast party on December 6th.
All right, Pete. I like it.
That's the most responsible thing Pete said ever on this pod.
Thank you.
Guesty and Actives, I have one that I'm willing to write in stone is Quentin Dunbar.
Sure.
Okay.
Agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so that's one.
Write it in stone.
I mean, I'm just typing it on my computer.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Running back's going to be interesting because if Thompson's up, Peterson's going to be up, and I think Bibbs is going to be
Bibbs,
up.
I think that's an easy one.
And then I think Thompson's going to be up.
Yeah, I think there's three.
And that means Pirine and Marshall are inactive.
Correct.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
But I'm glad we all came to that consensus pretty easily. All right, so we need four more. I think it's either Ioannidis or Caleb Brantley. So it kind of comes down to which way are we leaning on Ioannidis.
You think
I think Ioannidis, to me, I think Ioannidis goes. So I guess that means I'm saying Brantley for the inactive.
I will lean that way, but it's,
So. We're still 4 days away from the game.
Right. I mean, it's one or the other. So.
All right. We'll give it this will be in honor of my 54-man roster. We'll give it a slash. also, they're still at 52. Like, there's something very interesting that they haven't brought anybody up. I wonder if it's Josh Holsey.
Yeah, and they signed that practice squad linebacker, too. And I don't know, if they want to make a one-for-one with McKenzie, then that's what you do. But
it was also weird. They never announced McKenzie to the IR. Usually they send out a release on that.
And they do have four linebackers, so it's not like they have to do that.
Right. Because it means McPhee can – well, hell, let's go right there. Is McPhee going to be active for the first time in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I think he has to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe with your run defense kind of weakening, hopefully he can help a little bit there.
But their run game's not very good.
Yeah. I have Quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Quick's inactive. I mean, especially
– Adonis, Alexander.
Austin.
But
Austin
can Adonis Howard? Be
–
But with, you got Dunbar. Right. Okay. So I think you're looking at Howard.
Yeah.
But can you make
Moses
Howard inactive?
Can beat up.
Right. Can you make Howard inactive with Moses?
Maybe Belanco?
Well, not only is Moses banged up,
and Seki's
got a bad ankle, too.
But, I mean, we need two more. I have Howard written down.
Does Jeremy Sprinkle take a?
No,
it would have to be one of the line, maybe one of the who the other inside linebacker? Who the hell are the inside?
Vigil's been inactive. It could be Vigil,
and that's a special teams thing,
right?
You may not have. This is what happened last year. They got into these crazy situations because of all the injuries as to who you could.
Right. Well, and that's why McPhee was going inactive, because he doesn't play specials.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is it's an O-lineman there. I'm guessing
one of those tackles is going to.
It's Howard.
Yeah. If one of those if Morgan is going to go, then one of those tackles probably.
So
but that's a tough situation.
This is our list: Dunbar, Perine, Marshall, Brantley, or Ioannidis. Quick, Vigil, Howard.
We'll see on Monday.
I can get on board with that.
That's fine.
Well done, boys.
Okay. Couple things here. It's over-unders or how the game unfolds. I was going to do how the game unfolds first, mostly because I just tweeted out that I need a wild card over-under, so I was going to give it a couple minutes to plug in here. Mitch, you start. How does this game unfold?
I think offensively for the Redskins, the Eagles' DBs are about as beat up as the Redskins' team is, so there should be some...
But I would put the Skins' defense is healthy.
Very healthy.
So they're
I just mean the team in general.
Sure, but like the last month of underperforming, you can't blame that on injury.
No, I wasn't.
I know. I think that's worth pointing out.
Just an addendum.
Yeah. Thank you.
anyway, I think the Redskins are going to be able to move the ball, particularly through the air. I think you're going to see Colt have a better game than he had in Dallas. I think the Eagles are going to be able to move the ball a little bit, too. I think that we might see our highest scoring game of the season. I'm going to go something in the 27-24 Redskins win range.
Is that the highest scoring game of the season?
So the Saints would be the highest scoring. Probably, do you mean like collectively kind of like even game?
Close game where teams
with score. A few TDs.
How lame is it that highest scoring for Redskins is 27-24?
So you had a 27-24 Skins win?
Yeah.
Okay. Pete, go ahead, dude.
I think the extended period is going to help Peterson a little bit. I think Thompson coming back is going to invigorate this offense a little. So I'm not worried about the offense. However, I'm still frightened by how this defense is performing and just the consistent decline week over week. And now they're kind of infighting a little bit. And
I don't think it's quite to infighting.
Not infighting, but they're a little disgruntled.
There's some crook eyes going on.
Okay, there's some crook eyes. And while I know this is a stupid thing to say, I've just resigned to the fact that I'll never pick the Redskins on Monday night again. So just based on that and the defense's decline, I'm going to say the Eagles win by a touchdown.
All right. I mean, that's what Vegas says.
Yeah.
Here's what's crazy, and I'm just looking through box scores. The Saints put up 48 on the Eagles, and they had less than 200 yards of total offense. Oh, never mind. I'm looking on the wrong side. They had 500. They had 550 yards.
Oh my God.
I was like, what the hell? Because I remember watching that game, and Drew Brees was just doing whatever he wanted.
Wow.
That makes a lot more sense. That's a
10 out of 10
Rushmore
on the
botch right there.
That's a Ryan Anderson hasn't played fullback level botch.
No, because I'm what? Yeah, maybe. What the hell? Go ahead, Mitch.
Suck it up. Suck up that mistake.
I think turnovers can be the killer. I don't think this Eagles offense has been all that good. I think Dallas beating New Orleans in convincing fashion with that defense shows that maybe the Skins' effort in Dallas was actually better than we all expected. I think Colt doesn't mess up a few of those throws, it's going to look pretty darn different. I think they tackle better in Dallas. It looks pretty darn different.
They got to tackle better.
Yeah.
Can't do any worse, really.
This Skins team generally plays well when they are completely against the wall.
We kind of said that about Dallas, though, didn't we? They were completely against the wall there.
I thought they had to win one of the next two against Dallas or Philly.
Okay.
Just to stay in contention in the NFC East. And I still think that. Folks now think the Cowboys are going to win out and the Skins won't be able to catch them. The NFL is weird. Like, weird stuff happens. And who knows? I think,
especially when a team is think about the Saints rolling 10 straight
right,
into Dallas.
Right.
Dallas
right.
is rolling, and they have the Eagles next week, and then the Bucks or whatever. It would be weird for the Cowboys to lose one of those two games, but
nobody
that's what
should,
the NFL happens.
Yeah, I say nobody should be surprised the way this league is.
No, for sure.
The Cowboys don't have a great deal of margin for error either. Now, they are healthy, and they're playing well, and they have a really good defense, but it's not like they're just going to destroy teams either with because of that offense.
In most of the Eagles' losses, they get held under 100 yards rushing. If the Skins can do that, they win this game. I think that's what they have to get back to. You know, if you look at two of their last three games have been losses with barely 70 yards rushing. I think that's got to be your goal, is keeping them under 80, and they'll win the game. And I think they're capable, because I just don't think this Eagles offense is that good. I've been saying like 24-21 all week and close. I think the Skins go up there and sneak one.
Yeah, and I've gone back and forth on this one all week, because you look at some of this matchups, the Eagles have been really bad defending the run. Over the, like, the last 6 weeks, they're giving up like 6 yards a carry. That's like by far the worst in the league. So it's a chance for the Redskins to get healthy there. Now, their style of run D doesn't always play well against the Skins or for the Skins. I think getting Thompson back helps that. I think the fresher Peterson helps that. The Eagles secondary, the concern that I would have there is that if I'm the Eagles, I'm pressing the hell out of these Redskins receivers. They did not do that to the Giants. They played soft because of who they're facing.
Right. Beckham's a lot different.
Right. I'm playing up, and I'm letting to see if Fletcher Cox can get through Bergstrom really quick.
Right.
You know, or whomever he's going against, and just see, can you get the quick pressure on Colt McCoy? If you get that pressure on Colt up the middle where Cox is, it makes it a lot harder for him. And so I think, you know, but I think that's a big key. I think defensively, the concern you always have is what Carson Wentz can do out of the pocket. I'm watching a play last week, and I was talking to Ryan Kerrigan about this earlier today.
Touchdown run from Dak?
No, that one was incredible. On Carson Wentz, the ability to run a bootleg to the opposite way that every other right-handed quarterback does. So he can roll out to his left on a bootleg, which makes them stay more balanced. But he can make plays. Like, he has a play last week where he squares his hips, guy in his face, and throws back to Ertz across the middle. It's like nobody makes that play.
One.
So it's those kind of plays that you like, that's where it's like when things break down, and they've consistently given up plays at corner this year. And I think that's
Ertz has killed them always.
Yeah.
And you know what was interesting? We had Derek Gunn on Redskins 100. He's covered the Eagles for years, and he was saying the thing up in Philly right now is fans worried that Wentz can't still make all the throws, and that he had to come out. There was a report that he got asked about. He's like, guys, I can still make all the throws. Like, he can't do it off his left leg or something.
All I know is when I saw this play, like, and I think I even tweeted out the other day, but it's like, it's kind of a holy, you know, whatever moment. And so I would just be worried about that. I think the Redskins just haven't played well. I think I went back and forth all week. The ultimate factor, because there were several days ahead of the game and I could change by Monday, but my ultimate factor was that they're just not playing well enough to go on the road to win at Philly. I think that's asking a lot right now. And so I have a close loss, like 24-23, 23-21, something like that. I can easily see them winning. I think a huge, huge, huge factor for me is yards per carry on first down. If Peterson's getting 3-4 yards of carry on first down, they win the game.
They do a terrible job when they're a negative down and distance.
Correct. So if he does that.
The Skins lead the NFL in offensive holds. They've got to come down, cut down on the holding calls.
The Eagles,
and some of those are phantom calls, I get that, but there's still enough of them that are real. And this team cannot fight out of second and 17.
They can't. They have no more. And I do believe that Colt McCoy will be better this week.
I do too.
And I do think that there's an opportunity. I like that. I think in this game, you know, the two guys that I'm going to look at are Josh Doctson and Jordan Reed. I think Jordan can have a big game here.
Ooh, look at you teasing what might be our over-under.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. I'll stop there.
The Eagles have the worst first quarter offense in the NFL. They've scored 21 points this season in the first quarter.
That bodes well for a Redskins team that needs to get leads.
Yeah,
exactly.
They have a need for leads.
This team doesn't play well from behind, and this is going to be a good opportunity to get out front and hopefully smother that Eagles.
Mitch, that was
that
a
Eagles
tasty,
offense early.
Tasty little nugget there.
All right, it sets us up well for over-unders. Colt McCoy in his first start finished with 268 last week. 258 rather, last week in Dallas. I think that's about right, somewhere in there, because the Eagles pass D, I mean, we've talked about this, their corners are really beat up. Their last three games, they've given up 275 to Eli. They gave up 240 to Dak, and then Breeze torched them for 373.
Well, they only had 20 yards of offense.
Yeah, did they have minus 170 rushing yards?
Yeah, I messed that one up, boys.
Got him.
Colt, 275?
I like how giddy Pete gets when somebody else
does it. It's nice. It doesn't happen often, so I try to jump in.
I'm just going to own it. That's fine.
I think 275 is good.
Mitch got grumpy about the Ryan Anderson thing. Right. I'm just going to own this.
Right. I was okay with the Ryan Anderson thing. I got grumpy a week later when he's still bringing it up.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting grumpy about.
Yeah, because we never reference things I've done wrong before.
Well, it's all – everything's – what do they say about LTs? Like, I treat all players fair, but I don't treat all players the same.
275, you say?
275 for Colt. How's that sound?
It's a fair number because he gets some weapons back and is playing against a crappy secondary.
I think it's a very good one.
I'm going under.
All right, let's start it off.
Do you want it to be, is that?
I'm fine with that because I'm definitely going under.
All right, I'm going over. John's going under.
I think if they win, it's still going to be Peterson and getting that going.
Sure. Mitchell?
I'm going over, and I think he's going over 300 yards today. Monday.
Juicy. Pete?
I'm going to go over.
There's a twinkle in his eye when he said that, too.
I won't say 300, but I will say over.
All right, AP. Let's look at what the birds are doing on the ground. It's not obviously per player, but they've been getting gashed on the ground.
Correct.
The last three games, the fewest yards they gave up was 126 to the Giants with Saquon last week. The two games prior to that, the Saints and the Cowboys, they gave up over 170 on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the Cowboys have Zeke, and the Saints run the ball really well with both Ingram and Kamara. But that's a lot. Counter that, though, with the Skins have been really ineffective running the ball for a few weeks now.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe having Thompson back helps a lot, but the YPC has been really low. You know, we're talking about banged-up guys on the offensive line. So, John, what say you for this Peterson number?
For the Peterson number? My default was always like 75 after the last few weeks.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
All right. Wow.
I was thinking 75.
That's the first time I've ever hit something where they...
We've been going 69 the last few weeks, but I think because the Eagles have been getting gashed on the ground.
Look at Pete. Come on.
Come on, Pete.
I'll always love that.
Mitch, you good with 75?
I'm good with 75.
Pete, you good with 75?
Yeah, it's okay.
You prefer 69?
Of course.
All right. What an idiot. You start, Pete.
I'm going to say under... Because, yes, the Eagles have been getting gashed, but those are much more quality running games with much healthier offensive lines and much better offenses.
The Cowboys' offensive line is beat to hell.
Yeah, they have one starter from...
Much more quality running game because Ezekiel Elliott. But I will say under because Thompson might eat into that a little bit.
Mitchell.
I mean, I hate being on the same side as Pete, so despite the fact that I do think it's going to be under because of Chris Thompson and because I think Capri Bibbs is still going to get a few plays... But I'm going to go over because I don't want to be on the same side as Pete.
Honestly, that's probably a good strategy. I should switch it to over, too.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
Why don't you go first, JP?
All right.
It's kind of
why I wanted you to go first.
I can kind of smell the wood burning up here.
Well, but I had the same thoughts, and I don't want to have the same thoughts as like
Pete.
I mean, right. But my thought was that I do think that Thompson will cut into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that... They can have a strong running game. They don't need Peterson to have 100 yards.
Right.
But I also think that if they're winning, then he's the guy who's got to close it.
Yeah.
So.
Are you going now?
No.
My part of mine was I said I think Colt's going to get 300 yards. If Colt gets 300, it's not going to leave a whole lot of yards out on the ground.
I should have said it at 65, and then I'd go over.
What about 69?
Pete's giggling. I can hear him giggling.
I think it's a tough number because I think it's right there. I think he gets to 70 and a touchdown.
I'll go 77 and a touchdown.
All right. Me and John are on the same
Mitch's side.
Let's go.
I'll go on that side. So we're all over except... Everybody's over except Pete.
Okay. Kime was the only one on the Colt under, so...
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's okay, Pete.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We can be on Pete Island. It's okay.
Wild card round. We ask you guys what our last over-under should be. I got a lot of responses. Ben Standing said Tim Settle snaps 20.5.
Ben Standing's on a Tim Settle kick this week.
He is. I'm tempted to go over on that. A lot of Reuben Foster jokes in here that I'm just not touching. Wentz magical escapes over under at 2. That's kind of hard to quantify, but he has been really good, less so this week. A good one is Colt turnovers. I think we did this last week, but I think you'd have to set it at like 1.5. But here's where I'm headed is I think, oh, geez, this is messed up. Ambulance appearances, 0.5. Oh. Last 2 weeks, we've had an ambulance.
Great.
Right.
Vegas knows.
Dude, here's a big picture one. Over under 2 Redskins victories for the rest of the year. No pushes. Go quick.
Over.
Over.
Over under 2?
Two wins the rest of the year.
It's got to be like 2.5, yeah. Right?
Because you want to go under 2.5. But the question was 2.
No pushes.
No pushes.
I'm abstaining.
Well, right. I was just going to say push, so that's fine.
I mean, who says, wait a minute, who's telling me I can't push? Who said, right, who made the rules?
After saying that you can't push, you're taking a push.
Who made the rules?
Trey Quinn
TDs. Up or down, no wiggle room.
Trey Quinn TDs, 0.5. Mm. Here's what I want to do.
3.5.
Jordan Reed.
In the first half.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed has been heating up. I'm opening it up to the crowd here. I think you can do yards or catches. He's had 13 catches the last 2 weeks. He's gotten over 70 yards the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say 5.5 catches.
The Eagles defend the tight end well, though.
5.5 catches or 60.5 yards?
I like the catches better. It's a better indicator of how involved he was.
Okay.
Okay. We talked to Jordan this week. He talked a lot about how he liked with Colt. And not that it's an indictment on Alex in any way, shape, or form, but he liked with Colt how the ball was on him when he was getting out of cuts, and
right.
And it was quick, and the speed and the tempo was moving.
Colt had big wins on Monday night, too.
Yeah, and yeah. I think he will play, but I like the Jordan one just because I think he does work well with Colt, and I think that's an area that if the receivers aren't getting off the line, Jordan's the guy.
I mean, here's my concern. I think if we set it at 5.5, we're all going over.
Yes.
So I think we have to set it at 6 with no pushes.
I'll still go over.
Are you going to still say
push? So you're going to take a push?
No, I would probably go over.
Okay. So why don't we set it at 6.5 then if you're going over?
All right. 6.5. Mitch, you go first.
I'm going to go over. I mean, I think he has a pretty big day.
Yeah, so I asked Colt about this on Wednesday. He said he's a huge part of what we do, always knowing that he's out on the field. I think that really helps our offense, and you could tell he went to him early in Dallas on those long third downs. However, kind of how I went with Peterson, I think Thompson and Crowder kind of eat away. So Reed will be involved, but under 6.5 catches.
I'm going over. I think Reed has a big game. Kime.
Over. Big game.
All right. That's it. Over-unders are in the books. Colt, 275. AP, 75. Jordan Reed, 6.5 catches. All right.
Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, we are knocking things. This is the most organized I've ever been for a podcast. I just want everybody
to. That's because there's a lot of updates at the end of the podcast to get to.
Well, no, I made a lot of notes. I'm trying to make Shover's life easier. All right. We can go quick now. Want to thank the good folks, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should ride with them. All right. We got some stuff to take care of. We need somebody to bring a megaphone to the podcast party.
Did you ask at the office?
No, but I'm just asking. These people respond.
Yeah.
Our listeners are the best people in the world.
We have a way better chance of getting a megaphone from our listeners than we do from the office.
So here's what I need a megaphone for the raffle because I'm worried it's going to be loud. We're going to be inside.
Last time I had to go like look for people in the bathroom too.
Right, and if I'm just yelling, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So it's better if we have a megaphone. But here's the thing. If somebody has a megaphone and commits to bringing it to the podcast party, I'm going to make sure you at least win a breaking... I'm going to give you a breaking tea t-shirt.
And a few beers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't need 20 people to bring megaphones.
Right.
The first person that responds to me says, I will bring a megaphone, lock it in.
Maybe a picture of it too for proof.
Yeah, a picture of the megaphone.
Yeah.
Then...
And we'll let you know who the person
is. And we'll let you know. So then the megaphone hunt is the scavenger hunt, first come, first served.
Notice who has just gone completely AWOL on this podcast. Kime. His millennial meter is blaring.
Well, he's definitely not.
Are we still doing this?
Yeah, he's not bringing a megaphone.
Right. Yeah, I'm not.
It's Kime coming to the podcast party.
Rockville's not conducive
to Kime. It's not in Berryville. It's
the
wrong
ville. Rockville is. Rockville's like 3 states away from John. Like,
it's a different time zone.
For him to get to Rockville, he would definitely drive through West Virginia.
Because I have to go up 340 and you cut through Harper's Ferry. Right. Yes, I would be going through.
God. Right. Put down a couple bets for me in Charlestown on the way.
I would like
We'll go to Delaware, dude.
Telling you, we can get a little, like, in the spring.
We need a Charlestown outing.
We're going to do a Charlestown outing.
We can do a pod. We can get a fire pit going.
I'm sold.
Brisket?
I'm in. Sold.
Brisket takes a long time.
All right. I don't think you know. So we need a megaphone. Hit me on Twitter or something. JP Finley, NBCS. I don't think John knows the big announcement Pete's about to make.
I don't think he does either.
Oh, my God.
I am so excited for this.
All right. This is Pete's big announcement, everybody.
Pete's been waiting for this moment all
his life.
He's
so proud.
So after 24 years of living with my parents, I'm taking my talents to a new apartment in D.C., moving in Saturday, December 8th. So the podcast party is also going to be somewhat of a going away party for myself.
In Rockville.
I want to spend Rockville nights. Those are valuable nights, and it's going to be a way to kind of bid Maryland goodbye. And I'm moving out. I'm spreading my wings, and I'm flying. I can't wait.
All right, so... Congratulations.
Let's go.
We're happy at 24 years old you're moving out.
Yeah.
We're pumped for you, Pete.
So
I am so my heart's beating.
John,
right now.
You have sons that have moved into apartments. Typically, your first apartment you're moving into, you got a bed, a dresser, maybe a couch. It's not a lot of moving involved.
There's not
right?
a lot. Well, you
Some
know,
clothes.
The clothes are what kill you. And then, like, it's all the equipment. Like, my son. He's up in Philly. It's all the equipment that he has, the extra stuff, the game consoles or TVs. And,
all of that's fine.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, no.
Would you
no,
ever? Would you ever? Would your sons or I moved 15 times before I was like before I was 35 or whatever?
Yeah, it's
right?
not a lot of stuff.
Did would you ever contemplate hiring movers?
No. Are
Pete,
you kidding me?
Pete, the most sheltered nerd I can possibly imagine.
You have movers coming?
He thought about it. You're 24. Move it yourself.
Okay. But here's the thing. We have Pete's friend who got punched in the face.
Right.
And Pete's friend who did the punching
right.
to help him move.
Like, I'm moving in with the puncher,
The three of those guys are not picking up
beds. The way it works in your 20s is that every dude helps his buddies move.
And you get beer and you're done.
Beer and pizza when you're finished.
The easiest thing.
Okay.
I mean, I
cannot believe you thought you needed to get movers.
So I just asked for advice. JP, of course, flipped out on me. And then I realized, yeah, that's probably a little silly and the price would probably be too much. So I'm not going to use movers, but I just wanted a little bit of counseling. So I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Just
I will
just
get a U-Haul.
Up.
Look, I'm going to call
just
a
just grow up.
This weekend, I'm going to call a U-Haul truck, get that reserved, and handle the move myself
there
with my room.
When I was in North Carolina, I moved a washer and dryer from a person's house back to my house.
That's the most Mitch story ever.
Dude, I moved myself in North Carolina from I was on the third story to a crosstown basement by myself. Bed, chair, you just...
Moving into the basement is easy. Moving out of the basement, not so much.
I bought a $10 couch at Salvation Army. Like, this is your life now.
I know. Yeah. I'm starting to grow up, dude. It's time.
All of that said, my boy John Neal runs Metropolitan Moving. John, if you want to text me that you want to help Pete out, fine.
Yeah, John, please send a text just so I have the
option. I didn't use the first house I bought. My wife and I bought a house. I still made my boy Jed help me, and we just moved us from our apartment.
I've never used movers before in my life.
We do need video of him moving.
Oh, it'll be a show. Imagine him trying to figure out getting a couch up some
stairs. I'm very concerned, so I have to move a couch out of my basement or my parents' basement at home. It's nice to say I'm going to have my own house and move it into my apartment in D.C.
Is it a walk-up or what?
It is a... It's four units. We're in the top left, so we have to go up a flight of stairs. So the couch out of a basement.
He doesn't know what a walk-up is.
Thus, it's a walk-up.
I'm painting a picture for the listeners who are excited for me.
So here's the other thing. Pete's going to have a housewarming party.
Yep.
And we might just decide what day it is.
Right.
We're not sure. We're not sure that Pete will be able to figure it out. John, are you going to come to Pete's housewarming party?
No. Is it in Berryville?
No.
Okay.
I keep trying to get somebody else to come that's older than me because I'm very worried I'm going to be the oldest person.
Right. Image is about your only hope. If not, you're going to be the oldest.
All right. Now here's...
JP, you and I will be the old guys in the corner slugging beers and making fun of the
I'm
kids.
I'm leaving by like 10 p.m.
Where
I think that's
DC?
Appropriate.
It is by Rock Creek Park on Colorado Avenue, and I'm now saying way too much, and I don't want to say anything more.
Just give them your address.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
The listeners have your phone number. Soon enough, they'll have your address.
It's kind of a weird neighborhood. There's not much there.
There's not much there, but it's very Uberable to a lot of stuff. And the apartment itself is by far the nicest. It just got renovated. We'll be the first ones to live in it. So
how funny is that for you to hear, like, when I moved to D.C., assume when J.P. moved to D.C., you wanted to live in one of
where
the neighborhoods.
Where you could walk to bars.
I lived right outside Adams Morgan. I could walk there. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. You need to be able to tell people they can walk back to your home.
The millennial thing with the Uber
is different.
We looked at 10 places, some at U Street, some here and there, but none of the apartments were good enough to justify the higher price. We wanted to have a good home.
No, it's just funny. It's funny that...
It's a different world.
The verb Uberable is the difference.
So Uberable.
Man, imagine how much money we could have saved if we lived up there when I was in, when you were, just
moving
to D.C.
Totally. Well, like, when I was bartending and trying to get back to Northeast where I lived, you couldn't get a cab. Just cabs wouldn't take
you. They wouldn't go there.
Uber would be so much better.
Right. I am worried about cooking for myself, and I'll just leave that. So if listeners want to make me food,
Emo Pete is back.
In a little while.
So much pasta.
At some point, we're going to give out Pete's address.
Yeah.
And we're gonna let people send in meals and
that is a great idea.
I think we should definitely give out Pete's address.
We will.
As soon as we know it. We're just
after, we've already given out my phone number.
We're
so
inviting everybody to the housewarming party.
I mean, it should be just that you wanted pod party in DC? Here's a pod party in DC.
Yeah, vote
all right,
for that.
Last thing, because we gotta go.
I'll miss you, Rockville.
This is kind of stupid now that I forgot how many yards the Eagles gave up, but I wanted to tell an embarrassing story about myself because I often do them about Pete. So here we go. These guys in the car all know that I'm wildly unorganized and often late for things. I have a hard time keeping track of anything. And so I have two like winter hats, like stocking hats.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find either of them for like a week. And my wife's like, how do you lose everything? I was like, I don't know. I was going to walk the dog, and my daughter, who's 3 years old, is like, Daddy, you need a hat. I'm like, yeah, it's cold. I'm like, I don't know where they are. She went down into the basement and found my hat and brought it up for me. Now, she is a great daughter, but it also shows that I'm
a
total...
That is a great daughter.
That's pretty damn.
It's remarkable that the three-year-old knows where my stuff is, and I don't.
She spends a lot more time in that house than you do.
True, and she also might have hit it.
She might have put it there.
Right. There's a good chance.
Shelby's not totally innocent here, I don't think.
All right, that's it. John, you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, everybody.
By the way, those who are wondering, my date went well on Wednesday.
Hey, there we go.
Great.
All right, we will be back after the Eagles game. Thank you for listening. You made it this far. We owe you like 5 beers.
See you in Rockville.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.